This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
When bloggers or influencers post their outfit links, 9 times out of 10, I click on it and immediately exit because the price is bananas. It wasn't until recently that I clicked on something expecting it to be the usual out of my price range sweater, and it was under $60 at Quince. Quince has become my ultimate destination for luxury essentials that won't break the bank. Let me tell you about some of the gems I found at Quince. From their 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters starting at just $50 to their washable silk tops and dresses, organic cotton sweaters, and stunning 14 karat gold jewelry, Quince offers a range of high quality items at prices that are truly within reach. And here's the best part. All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Give yourself the luxury you deserve with Quince. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're licensed marriage and family therapists and owners of the Therapy Group.
We're on a mission to make therapy and therapeutic topics more relatable and accessible.
So stay tuned, because in order to grow yourself, you gotta know yourself. And welcome back to Shrink Chicks.
We have one of our amazing couples therapists here today, Nicole Lewis.
Today's episode is dispelling some myths of couples therapy. And right here is the amazing Nicole Lewis, licensed marriage family therapist. She specializes in emotionally focused couples therapy. And you work almost exclusively with couples at this point.
Yeah, pretty much.
She loves working with couples.
I love working with couples. Yeah. So, I think I have two individuals.
How's that going?
It's harder for you to work with individuals.
It's hard. Yeah. Give me the couples.
Yeah.
Those sessions fly by.
And you know, we.
That's true.
We're so glad to have you today, because I feel like, you know, a lot of people are super pro therapy, right? Like therapy, I feel like, is a kind of a buzzword right now. Mm-hmm. And also, people talk about couples therapy, but I don't think anyone actually knows what the fuck to expect when they walk in the room, which I think it makes really scary. Mm-hmm. And I think what we know is that research tells us that couples come in for therapy 7 years too late.
Yeah.
7 years too late. So the amount of times, how many times have you gotten this voicemail? Hey, Dr. Lewis. She's not a doctor, but it's what everyone calls.
People call us doctors. So I don't know why.
Hey, me and my spouse were thinking about getting divorced. Therapy's our last ditch effort.
Yes.
How many times have you heard that exact thing?
So much. It's our last straw. This is the last thing. If this doesn't work, then we're done.
We're ending it.
But that just doesn't really scare me, because it makes sense. You know, you're just like, there's so much happening. And it's just a lot. So, yeah, of course, you're just done. You're done just, by the time you get in there. But usually you're not, which is why you're
actually letting go in. Yeah. Right.
But I think, too, that one of the reasons why it's so important to talk about this is that I think that a lot of couples feel, oh, I can't go to couples therapy unless we have a serious problem. And if we're going to couples therapy, then there must be something wrong with our relationship. So I think we should talk about that, because I think the couples who work on their relationship before there becomes these huge issues are the ones that are the most successful.
Yeah.
Well, it's like preventative medicine, right? So it's like taking care of your health before there's an issue.
Yes.
And so would you say, so tell us a little bit about it, like how your practice works.
Yeah.
So if I walk in your room, I want to hear what happens next.
Yeah. So I have two thoughts going off of Jen, what you said. You know Dax Shepard?
Yes.
He's so great, right?
Mm-hmm. Armchair expert.
Yes. Oh, he's so good. He's so good. But he was on the Ellen Show like a while ago. But he said something like, we all take our car in once a year to get checked, but yet when it like comes to our relationship, we're just like,
it'll be fine.
Figure it out. Yeah.
He's like, you should treat your relationship with the same respect you treat your car. So as you were saying,
and that's a low bar.
Yeah.
At least for my car.
And mine too.
If we're talking about my car, it's not getting any love and care.
Same.
Right?
Yes.
Right? So I just think, to your point, if you can come in before there's like all these problems, of course, it's just like better.
And I think one of the things too is that people think, oh, well, we're not married and, you know, we shouldn't be going to couples therapy if we're not married. Like, no.
Yeah.
You can still go to couples therapy.
Yeah.
At any stage.
Yeah. it's easier. It's easier for the couple. It's
you haven't hurt each other enough yet.
Selfishly easier for the therapist, you know? It's just easier.
Well, and I think I also hear this other thread, and I've heard this, like, not in a professional sense, but a personal one, of, like, and maybe have used this a few times. I don't want to admit that, but I'm going to try to be honest as possible here, be transparent, which is, like, this idea of saying, like, well, if we can't figure this out, we need to go to couples therapy. So, like, couples therapy as a punishment or a threat.
I've totally done that, too.
I know, right? It doesn't feel good to admit, but it's true. But, and I feel like also parents do that with kids a lot.
Yes, I got that one.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, if you keep doing this, you're going to have to go to therapy. Right.
So therapy
like,
is
it's a bad thing.
Right.
Yeah.
But like, it's not. It's actually like this beautiful, amazing gift you give yourself.
Yeah. I went to one of my friend's weddings and at the end of it, I guess I had had a few drinks or but like I was saying, I think it was the couple that just got married. I was like, listen. Go to couples therapy before you have any issues. And I went on my soapbox.
At their wedding.
It was not the time.
At their
You're
wedding.
Like,
at
I'm
their
letting wedding. Them know.
I was like, oh, I have really good information
and
for
And they're
people.
Like, God, don't invite that Jen girl to
I know.
Wedding.
And since then, I have not been to any weddings.
Okay, oh. COVID. Maybe that was the pandemic.
I don't know. Maybe.
Okay, but so, so tell us. Yeah, so like, I think a lot of people don't even know what to expect when they come in.
Yeah.
So what would you say to people? How do we prepare people and feel more comfortable?
Act like we're the couple coming into your office. What would you say to us?
Well, I mean, for me, standardly what I do for all couples is I see you together in the first session, and then you'll each get one individual session, and then you'll come back to doing the couple's work. I think that helps, selfishly helps me, because it gives me a better idea of just, like, what is happening, what's going on. I think we all do what we do for good reason. And so good, bad, right, wrong, we just do what we do for some kind of reason. And I think if I can know and understand that, it just helps me work just better on behalf of your relationship. And then hopefully for the couple, I think it's easier sometimes for couples to share more of, like, what's on their heart, what's going on in their head, the hard stuff that, not that they're holding from their partner, but, like, it just doesn't feel safe enough. To talk about it yet. So that's a little bit, like, I guess specifically about, like,
what that even looks
together,
like. Yes,
each get one, and then we come back and
I
do
think
the work.
Another fear people have is excuse my cough
allergies.
I feel like another fear people have is that, like, what happens if we start people's fear about going in is, like, if I start digging up something and we start creating fights that weren't there. I've heard people express that concern a ton. I'm wondering what you would say to that.
Yeah. I mean, it comes out, and it comes out anyway.
Yes.
Right? It just comes out sideways. And so coming in and doing the work, it just helps it helps send clear signals to your partner, right? So it doesn't come up. I can't tell you, I think we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
How many couples will talk about, you know, fighting about chores or the dishes or, like, whatever thing that is. And I'm not saying that stuff isn't frustrating and annoying, but for me, it's like, that's symbolic of what?
So it's not about the dishes.
I know. It's easy. Easy to blame it on that. I also think that a huge fear that couples have going in is that the therapist is going to side with one partner. I think that's a huge fear.
Yeah.
Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely a fear for people. I just don't view it that way. I mean, unless, of course, it's like physical abuse or something, but I just don't meet many couples, if any, where it's all one partner's fault that they're in distress. Right. It's
people are going to not want to hear that, what you just said.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really aren't. But
then it takes two to tango.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Like that, and sometimes that hurts to hear. And also a lot of times the truth hurts.
And also you're on the side of the relationship.
Yes. Yes.
You know, like, and I think that's hard, because also when they're coming in, they're not a partnership, right? Like they're struggling because they're struggling to form a partnership. And so you're on the side of the partnership.
Yeah. And again, good, bad, right, wrong, people do what they do for some kind of reason. It's our defense mechanisms are up.
Right.
Because we don't feel safe enough to turn to our partner and talk about or share the deeper, softer parts of what's happening and going on. Mm-hmm. So I just validate that.
Yeah. It's not easy. Yeah. Right. People are protecting themselves in their relationships in ways that end up hurting their relationship.
Right.
But they just want to protect it. Like, I think, like, if you sit here and think about how much is self-protection.
Yeah.
Right? Of how many times do I not tell something to my partner? How often do I turn away from my partner?
Yeah.
How often do I want to protect myself from real pain? And I think that's the thing is, like, when you're single, you have this idea that once you're married, you're going to feel safe all the time.
Yeah.
That's a myth.
Yeah. That is a myth.
It is a myth.
Right? Yeah. Like, because there's a lot of parts about marriage that are very, very difficult and so scary.
Yeah.
And there's, I think there's an idea of like, okay, when we get married, like, these things will stop.
Well, that's the unconscious contract,
that is
right?
Not true, right? Like, those, and sometimes those things are amplified because you're like, well, I'm married now. Why isn't it stopping, right? Yeah. Like, or why didn't this change?
Right.
When, you know, and then your reaction to it gets even more intense, or your protective mechanisms come out even more. And so are there times in which, Nicole, like you would say, like, what are the best times for couples to come into therapy?
I mean, this sounds so corny and cliche, but just like when you're ready. I mean, you just...
How do you know you're ready? So that's what people are going to ask. I'm just asking questions because that's what everyone's going to say.
I mean,
so how do you know? What would that look like?
I feel like just come, right? Just like come in.
Just a conversation.
Yeah, it's just, I...
Ready doesn't mean not scared.
Oh, yeah.
That's terrifying.
Right? This idea that you're going to feel super excited and not scared, that's a myth.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's hard. It's so hard. Couples work. It's so hard. Not that individual work isn't hard.
It's different.
It's just so different because you have to hold the space for more people in the room.
I also think it's interesting. I think there is this interesting dynamic between couples and individuals where you feel very aligned with your individual therapist and you feel like protected and safe, hopefully, if you have a really good clinician that you feel good with. And then I think that there's an interesting thing that happens in couples where it's like, I still want you to think we're a good couple.
Right.
I still want you to think I'm nice, right? Like, I feel like there's a different level of approval sometimes people really want from their couples therapist. Yeah. Have you experienced that?
Yeah, no one wants to feel bad or like they're the problem or they're wrong, which is how couples feel anyway, which is why the defense mechanism comes up to feel like you need to protect yourself.
Right.
I mean, this is... obviously not my thoughts. This is EFT, the theory I use, but they talk about, and I am pretty explicit about it when working with couples, of talking about the difference between pursuers and withdrawers. So don't quote me, but I think like, like in 80% of relationships, there's someone who's more of the pursuer and there's someone who's more of the withdrawer. So the pursuer, I'm speaking generally, but is someone who tends to just be more of the initiator, initiates communication, initiates conflict, wears their heart on their sleeve more. They might be seen as the more emotional one. Their partner might perceive them more as angry. And the withdrawer is someone who tends to avoid conflict. They want to try to keep the peace. They become quiet. They retreat. They retract. And neither is wrong. It's just, it's just, you know.
It's like their defenses, right?
Yeah.
So when someone's listening to this and they just say, holy shit, that's me. I'm the pursuer.
Most times people know exactly what they are.
Yes. So if you're listening, probably within 1 second you knew.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? So
So Jen, what do you think is the biggest difference between you and your husband?
I think there's a lot, but I would say probably how much time we spend on our hair.
Your ongoing hair journey. But it's a lot less now that we started using Do Edit Scrunchies.
Do Edit Scrunchies have such elasticity in it.
It's so much better for your hair.
And just the colors are so beautiful.
They're so adorable. And here's the best thing. They're all like ethically made, ethically sourced right here in North America. Do Edit is Caitlin Bristow's company, and we're obsessed with her, too.
Also, I have a new love for headbands now.
Yes, her headbands are amazing. And my daughter is obsessed with the Brettes.
She's so cute.
She looks perfect in them.
She's just the cutest.
The only thing is that you really have to snap it because they sell out
fast.
So fast.
Yes. I just went on the other day because I wanted another headband.
Because we're scrunchie addicted.
Exactly. So say goodbye to bad hair days with Dew. Spice up your daily wardrobe with a fun, scrunchier hair accessory. Use the one-time code SHRINKCHICKS for 15% off your first purchase with them at DewEdit.com. And please do yourself a favor and subscribe to their newsletter. All newsletter subscribers get early access and front-of-the-line priority with exclusive access to shop all of their drops first. Do it.
If you listen to one of our latest episodes titled Em and Jen Fall Apart, you know the current feelings of burnout that we're both facing. Running our business, the therapy group, keeping up with the podcast, and enduring a house renovation leaves little time for grocery shopping, meal prepping, and cooking. So we are extremely thankful for our sponsor, Hungry Root. When I received my first delivery of the Hungry Root box, it felt like a breath of fresh air. Hungry Root saves me so much time and offers customizable options. Plus, with perfectly portioned ingredients, I'm wasting far less food than I would if I were left to my own devices in the kitchen. No more throwing away wilted veggies or expired condiments lurking in the back of my fridge. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high quality meat and seafood, smoothies, sweets, ready to eat meals, kids snacks and meals, vitamins and supplements, and much more. I discovered Three Little Pigs, spinach, feta, and egg bites in my last delivery, and they are my new obsession. Also, Hungry Root's coconut curry sauce is not to be missed. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. Anyone else feel like a business class required in your schooling curriculum would have been massively helpful? Because same. We went to school to become therapists, and here we are 10 years later, really noticing the void in our knowledge on the business side of therapy, which is why we love our Masterclass membership. Masterclass has truly increased our confidence in running our therapy practice, the therapy group. Pros like Chris Voss, Robin Roberts, Daniel Pink, and Mark Cuban have filled that void and taught us so much about decision-making, negotiating, maximizing our time, and effective communication. This year, you too can learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving. Masterclass actually helps you do it. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. masterclass.com/shrinkchicks.
I'm the pursuer in my relationship.
I'm the withdrawer. Yeah.
You know what? I probably would have always said that I was the pursuer until everything happened with my infertility. Mm. And then I think that I actually did go a lot internal and became a withdrawer.
Yeah. Welcome. Like, how does it feel? Welcome it to feels, our side.
You know what? Being on both sides, right? I think that when you're the pursuer, you can feel... You can become highly critical and you can more often feel rejected.
Yes.
Withdrawer, I can feel a lot more isolated, but I feel safer.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And so, like, there's...
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a comfort in that. There's a safety in it. Yeah. And also, I know that my husband is on the other side of that feeling the rejection that I have felt before.
Yeah.
And so that doesn't make me feel
so
good
nice
to know
have both.
To both sides. Yeah. Like when, like I feel like the trauma of that experience for me really changed a lot about my emotions.
Wow.
Which makes
and
sense.
Like the way you're processing your emotions.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
That makes sense.
And so I wonder if that in turn will change your husband's reaction to you. Right? Because if we're talking about.
That poor guy doesn't know what to do.
Right.
I have so many feelings. I have so.
So many.
Every day he's just like, we're just going to adapt. He's. Thank goodness I married an engineer because he's so leveled out and even keeled where I'm like, I feel everything.
Yes.
But all day long.
But yeah.
Really so,
but another myth is that pursuers will think withdrawers don't feel anything. And I'm like, that is internally, there is so much happening.
Absolutely.
It's just feels so scary to share it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Somewhere along the line, whether it be in your current relationship or just from your past, you've learned that it's dangerous to do that. Mm. If I share, it's not going to be good. Something bad will happen. They're not going to get it. Whatever. I mean, it's different for all people, but so you don't. But then that coping mechanism for both for pursuer and withdrawer, it's what gets in the way.
Right.
Of connecting.
Mm-hmm. And it affects, right? They affect each other, right? Like the more one person withdraws, the more the other person pursues. And then you just get gridlock.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's where the fun work begins.
Yeah, that's the cycle, that's right? The more, I mean, it happens in my relationship, right? It's like the more I pursue because I'm upset, right, about whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like I need to talk about it. I want to fix it. Oh my gosh. I need to do whatever. Let's talk about it. And then the more I experience Kevin, my husband, shutting down, the more I feel like I need to go in. Right. But then the more I go in, the more he's like, danger.
It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, too much.
Too much. Too much. And then, I mean, we both end up feeling alone and rejected, just in a different way, maybe.
So in couples therapy, as you're seeing that dynamic play out, mm-hmm. what do you do with that?
So the first step is, and some couples already have this insight and some don't, no shame or judgment either way. It just mm-hmm. depends. I just try to make the cycle of what's happening really explicit and try to get them to understand that we're both trying to protect our relationship in our own way. So the pursuer is trying to protect it by, we have to talk about it. If we don't talk about it, like, then it's going to just sit and linger. And then, like, how will we fix it? Like, it feels so scary. And then for the withdrawer, they're protecting it by, I'm channeling my husband right now, like, I don't want to say something that's going to make it worse.
By, like, keeping the peace.
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
I have heard my husband say that to me.
Mm-hmm. I feel that.
So many times.
I feel that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like they're really both trying to protect it in the way that they know.
So it sounds like they're not just trying to protect themselves. It sounds like they're trying to protect the relationship too, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to.
Yes.
My fear is that this is all going to blow up and get very bad.
Well, yes. And
so
I have to
mitigate damages.
And that's an important reframe, right? Because mm-hmm. if you're saying I'm protecting the relationship, not just I'm protecting myself, right? You're already helping them focus on it as a team, right? Yeah. We're like on this together. We're both trying to protect the relationship just in different ways.
Yes. Yeah. So that's the first part of it. And then helping the withdrawer again, this is all not my stuff. EFT, I can't take credit for stuff that isn't mine. But helping the withdrawer re-engage a bit and helping them create the safety. Because the pursuer is going to naturally soften when the withdrawer re-engages. Right. Because they're just scared, the pursuer, because they don't know what's happening. They feel left in the dark. They feel alone. That feels so awful. Mm-hmm. And it's not this isn't the withdrawer's fault. It's just, again, how they protect the relationship. Right. But helping them open up and share a bit more of what their experience is like.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually pretty soothing, actually, for the pursuer. But then there's issues, right, that are so triggering that maybe it might create more defense in the pursuer and more defense in the withdrawer. But again, to me, that's all just like normal.
Yeah.
I just like go in and validate it because it makes sense. If you really just slow down and slice it thinner and try to understand why someone's protective mechanism is coming up, you usually get to the emotional part.
Totally.
And there you are.
Yeah, and I think...
But what do people do with it? But that's a good question, right? So, like, for us as therapists, we're like, the emotional part, I really love it. But there are a lot of people that are incredibly uncomfortable with emotion.
Absolutely. Yeah.
There is all this discomfort. Yeah. So what about the people that hear that? They're like, no, that's what I've been trying to avoid is the emotional
part. Right,
like,
right.
I'm staying away from that. Wait a second. Yeah. No.
Right.
So what would you say to that?
I mean, it's just about helping them stretch their window of tolerance a bit I don't want anyone to sit in bad feelings forever, but if we can learn, this is one of my favorite EFT therapist and supervisor, Catherine Ream. She always says, like, befriend your inner world, help your partner get a glimpse into what's happening in your inner world. Mm. And it's not like you have to sit there forever. It's just like, it's there. If you can both find ways to share it and then turn towards each other, I mean, there's something powerful about just feeling like we're walking together in whatever the hurt, the pain, whatever
absolutely
it is.
Please, darling.
I was just gonna say that I think oftentimes when we're stuck in that cycle, we are viewing our partner as doing something that's really hurtful to us, right? Like that it's something that hurts us.
Yeah.
Because, you know, for the pursuer and our partner's withdrawing, then we're like, oh, like you're rejecting me, right? Like this is a rejection. Or, you know, if you're the withdrawal, you're like, oh, God, like, stop yelling at me. Like, whoa.
Right. It's like, I always feel wrong or criticized.
Exactly. And so, like, you're helping people get underneath that where they're understanding that their intention isn't to, like, push the partner away.
Yeah.
It's actually to get closer
and
to be more connected.
Yeah. And to help them learn to share the softer parts of how you feel. Not, trying to think of an example. Yeah, not to blame or just say something mean, but to share what's actually happening and going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just use a personal example because that's what's coming up. When I am feeling like I need more quality time with my husband, or I'm feeling like I'm just more needy. That's just how I am, right? And I'm feeling like I don't know how to get it. And maybe I've tried indirectly or directly, whatever. When all of my best efforts don't work, I get critical because I know that that's going to get some kind of response from my husband, which obviously is going to make him not want to hang out with me because I'm being mean and critical, right? But when I started to learn and understand of what was happening in those moments, and really it was like I just felt like he didn't want to be with me, or like I wasn't fun enough. He could like go be with other people and have fun, but like he couldn't. And so it's just like triggering all my own stuff of not feeling good enough. And so when I could share that piece of like, it's, you know, I'm upset because it's just like making me think I'm not good enough. Right. Like that's what I tell myself. And then he was like, oh, like, no, not at all. That's.
So he like turns towards you.
Yeah. Because it wasn't like you're. Whatever nasty thing I would say, certainly doesn't want to turn towards me.
right. But it's like it speaks to like you're pushing him away because you feel you're not feeling good enough.
Right.
And then to like bring him closer by being like, this is what's actually going on for
and
me.
That's through like a lot of work. I guess I shouldn't make it seem like I was critical and then 5 minutes later I was like, oh, I'm in touch with this softer. No, that's like not how it went down.
What about years
this
of work?
This long time.
But you said something that I know you heard from us 2 weeks ago in a case review. We were chatting and talked about something that I think was very helpful. And I know that you had learned this from an old supervisor, which is the importance of being in supervision as a therapist,
good.
Right? How much you learn from other professionals and why we fully believe in peer support and supervision.
Yeah.
And you talked about, like, I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about like the ongoing soothing we have to do. Now, you use this great analogy of the baby crying.
Yes.
Will you tell people this? Because I think this is very helpful to talk about ongoing patience and compassion with our partner and with ourselves.
Right. Yeah. So a supervisor, Ting, who is, again, an EFT supervisor, therapist, trainer, she talked about it as a crying baby. When you have a crying baby, you don't just tap the baby one time and assume that the baby's going to stop crying. You tap, 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 hold, tap, 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 tap. And in my head, that really clicked for me and made me just realize and know and understand as a therapist that that's what I want to do with my couples, of just like validate. And they're doing what they're doing, again, good, bad, right, wrong, for some kind of reason. And if you just let them, if you hold that space for them, they'll usually stop crying, right?
Yes,
even if they're
not
literally crying.
Sometimes
they are.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Anyone else go through soap and cleaning products insanely quick? At both my house and at our business, we're constantly replacing plastic bottles. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. That's why we are thrilled to introduce our newest sponsor, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you
you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautifully cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You will never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run. Refills start at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for an additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, all Blueland products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. And I'll be honest, I was a bit skeptical at first. Can eco-friendly products really tackle tough messes? Well, Blueland proved me wrong. The products I received, like their multi-service cleaner and bathroom cleaner, were powerful. Grime, grease, and dirt don't stand a chance. Blueland is not only good for the planet, but also for your wallet. And the starter kit I received was beautifully packed. The bottles are sleek and sturdy, and the scents are amazing. Lemongrass, lavender eucalyptus, and fresh lemon, or you can choose fragrance-free. Blueland has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off. Can you believe we're on year 5 of Shrink Chicks? We have been podcasting since 2019 and have somehow yet to change the photo of us on the cover of the podcast. We are planning a photo shoot in a few weeks so we can finally update our cover art. We both obviously need new outfits for the photo shoot, but really didn't want to break the bank. So thank goodness for Quince, where we can get multiple high-quality outfits for a very reasonable price. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. For the shoot, we want to go with a few different looks, one being monochrome, so I opted for a few key items from Quince's collection, including their Mongolian cashmere tee, classic trouser pant, and structured blazer. I couldn't resist adding their timeless 14 karat gold jewelry pieces to complete my look, because who doesn't love accessorizing? The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
But I like that analogy, because I think that's also something about, like, our own inner child, right? Mm-hmm. That, like, it is okay for you to need ongoing reassurance. It is okay for you to need ongoing soothing.
Totally. Yeah. And tap, tap, tap yourself.
Right?
Yeah. And this idea for tap, tap, taps from others.
Yes.
Get the tap, tap, tap.
Tap, 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 baby.
Sorry, I interrupted.
No, I thought it was really good. I literally liked that joke. But I think it's also this thing of, like, we learn soothing. Like, the way that people learn to self-soothe is by being soothed by others. Mm-hmm, so this idea that we're supposed to just be, like, totally alone and not need other people and not need support and not need attachment, not need attunement, that's bullshit, right?
It is. We're literally not wired that way. We're not wired that way. Yeah. We're wired to be interdependent and to feel like people are in our corner and we can count on other people.
And it's part of why, like, early theories in psychology have now been highly critical of being anti-feminist and anti-woman, because it was very much like, handle your own emotions and take care of yourself. And that's helpful sometimes, because sometimes your partner is not able to be there for you,
right? You have to self-soothe.
Yes, for sure that there is going to be times where your partner, let's say they have a family member who is going through a struggle, or they're going through their own thing, or they're having medical stuff, right? There's
going
to be
reasons. Like, if you're going through stress at the same time.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that's why learning to self-soothe and having those skills are incredibly important, but at the end of the day, we're wired to be with other humans.
Yeah, it shouldn't be, self-soothing shouldn't be our primary way of coping.
Right.
Our primary way of coping should ideally be with our partner, whoever
support,
that is, a friend, a parent.
It doesn't have to be a romantic partner, right?
No,
like any of those things.
So I'm wondering, like, if people are listening to this and they're like, oh God, like, I'm the withdrawer in my relationship, or I'm the pursuer in my relationship, what can they do for themselves, or, like, what can they do or process while they're listening to this to bring to their relationship?
Good question. What can they do? I mean, it's so hard. It kind of depends where people are at. So I think being just self-reflective of, okay, like, what are my moves in the dance, so to speak, of what do I do and what happens when I do this? I mean, I would encourage this conversation to happen together with your partner, right? And to learn and see how we feed off of each other. Right. And just to maybe learn how to, which this is easier said than done, but see it a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm. I have a question.
Yeah.
If I'm a pursuer, just, you know, yeah, me personally right now.
I just have a hypothetical
situation I have going on here. If I'm the pursuer in my, yeah, like, in my romantic relationship, mm-hmm, do you think that that could also then translate into my other relationships in life? My relationship with my roommate, my relationship with my boss, my relationship, mm-hmm, right? Like,
it could, but you don't have, if you're, like, a pursuer in one relationship, certainly doesn't mean you're the pursuer in all of them. You know, right? You could. Like, I'm a pursuer in the relationship with my husband, and a lot of other relationships, I'm more of the withdrawer. Mm. So, yeah, it's not, like, mutually exclusive.
Okay. Gotcha. And also, I wonder if it depends on, like, the people you have these relationships with, right? Yes. Like, if you're friends with someone who's more of the pursuer, mm-hmm, then the natural reaction is like, okay, yeah, well, I might be more the withdrawer.
Right.
And so, you know, I know we're talking about it in the context of couples therapy, but I think it makes sense. I mean, yes, I would say I'm probably the withdrawer in most of my relationships.
Jen, yeah, you are 100% the withdrawer in literally all of your relationships, except with your pets.
Oh, God, I love
it is
so
the
much.
Only pet. Relation. Yeah. Oh, I'm really sorry. Fuck.
Tater, why?
Why, Tater? Pour one out for a homie.
God, I will.
I'm gonna just drop a little bit of water right here. Okay.
It's gonna get on
your
computer.
Oh yeah, the technology. But no, you are 100% withdrawer, except for
I am such a pursuer in my relationship with Louie. Oh,
with
my
the dog,
God,
yes.
I'm naturally. Smother. Right? Smother him, right?
What animals? About you and Nala? You and your dog.
Pursuer. By a million percent.
She's like, get out of here, Mom. She's withdrawal.
Yeah. I was moving all over different couches in the floor last night trying to get her lay with me. And she would just, like, come just close enough, but, like, not...
Not too much.
Actually a snuggle.
She's withdrawing. Like, she's withdrawing.
I'm here, but...
Did she sleep in bed with you?
No, only, like, randomly on the weekends.
Do you wish that she would?
Yeah.
Would you sleep
Kevin
in her
like, no.
dog bed with her?
She would growl at me because she's nasty.
No.
She's nasty.
I'm obsessed with the way you talk about your dog.
Me too. Oh,
I think it's so really cute. Important to know the limits of our animals, though. Mm. Especially because she's a rescue, too, right? Is she? No.
I mean, if
so
I'm like
rescue,
very...
Dogs are fucked up.
I mean, we probably shouldn't have gotten her where we got her, but I didn't know until...
At the time.
After, which we thank God would. We did, though, because I'm like, I did rescue her.
Yes, you did. Yes.
I did.
But I mean, that's true. A lot of us have learned a lot of information about pet getting.
Yeah.
In our 20s, we were just getting pets off the internet.
Yeah.
And that was
I almost got scammed into...
Of course.
Do you remember that? When I was getting Tater, I almost got scammed. I, like, reached out to this person who was, like, selling these cats, and I was like...
This is what happens when you buy animals.
Followed my knowledge. Animals off the internet, 100%.
And in your early 20s, we didn't know any different,
exactly.
Right? Now we know a lot more.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I
so
literally remember.
Is she from a puppy mill?
Yes, I'm pretty sure. I remember just behind Kevin's back, not a good thing to do with couples. But I was like, I need a dog. So I was like looking online, and as soon as I saw her, I was like, soul dog, like, must have
just
her.
Know.
So then I reached out to the people, and I was like, can you send me updated photos of the dog? And then I just sent photos to Kevin, and I was like, what do you think? And then all he put back was, oh my God. And I was like, forgetting the dog.
I've already
he could have been saying, like, oh my God, no, but it was like the interpretation of it was like,
matter.
Oh my God, yes, this
you
is
had,
happening.
You had already decided that dog was coming.
Oh yeah. And now we're a little
Like a little unit. All right. So I want to know. Okay.
Now that we're getting back on topic, because I have another question too. After you go.
Oh no, you go, please.
Well, I think because the thing that I think, and all therapists have different, you know, ideas about doing this, is like the secrets policy.
Oh.
Oh yeah.
Because
people want to know.
People want to know, right? Yeah. Like that. If there's an affair or. and they're telling you in an individual session, like, how do you handle that?
Yeah, I mean, I obviously can't know something that one of the partners doesn't know.
Yeah.
That would just mess up any kind of safety and rapport. Right. And we're talking all about feeling safe and secure to share and turn. And if they feel like they can't do that with me because I know something that they don't, it just it just couldn't work.
Yeah.
With that being said, I'm not going to, like, come out and expose it for them. We just can't continue the couple's work until it comes out. Yeah.
I feel like the other thing I have so often had couples say is, would you tell us if we should get divorced? Have you had people say this to you? I get this one all the time.
I've gotten that.
Yeah. Surprisingly, I feel like I haven't gotten that too much.
Maybe people think I would talk out of my ass more than you would, probably. Oh, they probably one I look at me, it. They're it's like,
all
this
that
girl.
It's the advice, all that advice you're given. They're like, can you just tell us if we should get divorced?
I know. So
because I feel like that is like such a common thing.
People
want
to know.
Yeah. It's a genuine question, right? I'm going in, I'm spending this money on a professional. I am scared. I don't know if this is going to
work.
Also,
the professional has seen so many couples.
Yes, exactly, right? I consider you an expert on this topic. Yeah. Right, the same thing. If I was getting my car worked on, and they should just, I should just buy a different car or just
right, like mechanic.
This.
Can you tell me?
Yes,
should I just?
So it's reasonable for somebody to want that, and still, we don't know. It's not a science like a car.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, you just don't know.
Yeah,
you just don't know.
Because everyone's different. Every relationship is different. Everyone's level of tolerance for things is different.
Yeah,
ability to work on it. Yeah. Is there ever a time where a couple comes in and you're like, okay, like, this isn't working in couples therapy?
Yeah.
Well, like, what are your signs for that?
You rocking a little Gottman, Four Horsemen?
Right? I
what
mean,
are you rocking
that's,
over here?
Right? That's a hard one.
Is it like, if, like, are there times in which one partner clearly isn't doing the work and the other partner is? Or, like, how do you?
It's so tough because sometimes, again, what meets the eye, it could look like that, but their defense could be up so much because there's so much hurt and pain.
What about someone who's, like, in really serious active addiction?
So, like, active addiction, any kind of, like, partner violence.
Yes.
If like, they're coming in for an affair and the partner knows, but then I find out the affair is, like, still ongoing.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, yes, for those things, then, yes, it's just, like,
there's also, like, an ethical obligation for us as professionals to be, like, hey, I can't take your money, right? Like, you know, like, we're also taking time and money.
It's an
investment.
It is an investment, right? That, like, we actually have an ethical obligation to say to someone, like, it's unethical for me to accept payment and to continue this work.
Yes,
like,
totally agree.
And that's also very serious for when we talk about intimate partner violence.
Yes,
like, because if there's going to be violence that occurs after sessions, then it's too much of a risk. We can't
Right. And, you know, EFT says you can't even do EFT with couples like that because, I mean, the whole premise and concept is share your vulnerability, share the emotion, learn how to befriend your inner world, your emotion. And if you literally don't feel safe.
Right.
That's it.
That's, like, your survival mechanism is to not let your partner in.
Right.
You're not going to be
like,
it's,
let them in. Yeah. It's fine. Right.
No, you just can't. Right. It just wouldn't.
That makes a lot of sense.
It wouldn't work. Okay.
So, all right. First of all, Nicole, we love you.
Oh.
I'm so happy.
Thank you.
So.
How did it go? How was it?
What'd you think?
It's good.
Yeah.
Great.
I'm wondering.
So fun.
If we were to do a takeaway from this episode, what is a takeaway we could give people that are maybe thinking that it's, you know, I'd be interested in doing some couples therapy? What would you want them to know from a couples therapist?
Truly that we're not judging. We're not taking sides. It's not one person is right and one person is wrong. It's just, and I'm also, this is a big one, I am not a problem solver. I'm not the kind of therapist, and most, I feel like, therapists are not going to tell you exactly what to do and say this or do this. We all are smart.
Yeah.
Couples know how to communicate and how to talk. There's something blocking them
that
makes it so hard to do all the things that we know. So I'm not going to, that's not the work. The work is really digging deep and getting into the just
the nitty
gritty. Like, what's behind the scenes?
Yeah.
But that, yeah.
Pull the curtain up.
Yeah.
Oh, baby.
And then it's no one's fault. I just want people to know that it's like, no, we get to where we get to together.
Amazing.
Oh, I love that.
And right there, that's where we're ending. The perfect ending. Nicole Lewis, licensed marriage and family therapist. Yes. Doing emotionally focused couples therapy. You can contact her at the therapy group. You'll have all the information.
Do you have any availability?
She's
little. Do you?
You don't.
Maybe. We're
I
not
feel
sure.
like I always somehow find room for one or two more. She keeps working constantly.
She should be working on her own boundaries. And at the end of the day, if you liked this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe. We will see you all and listen to you. We love you.
See you next week. Thank
on
you.
Shrimp Chicks.
Hey guys, I'm Alana Dunn, and I'm the host of Seeing Other People. As an early Hinge employee, a modern dater, and now a fiancé, I know the dating world maybe a little too intimately. I'm here to make you feel less alone in your dating journey, whatever it may look like. Don't have a date for tonight? No problem. Whether you're looking for love or just want to laugh and commiserate with others, tune in to Seeing Other People as we explore the roller coaster that is the ever-evolving world of dating.